And we are recorded. I don't know how to do this. TJ's not here. I don't know. Welcome, everybody. Episode 149, or almost at 150, 149 of the Sling and Lead podcast. My name is Kent Hauer. And tonight I have our favorite guest, except for a couple others, but he's probably pretty well our favorite. One of my best buds in the shooting business and the third best firearms trainer on planet Earth. And his other two personalities are number one and number two. This is Tim Herron.
Hey, guys. How are you? Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude. So tonight's recording date is the 29th of January, 2024. We're doing these recorded episodes when we can sling them in because TJ and I have busy lives. Mr. Herron knows something about podcasting and trying to keep up with it. And we did every one of these live up to 145. And like every one of you told us, dude, fucking record a few. It's okay. They don't all have to be live.
Right.
And every one of you were right.
Right. The live is great to get the interaction with the listeners and things like that. But yeah, I mean, for your own sanity, good Lord, you know.
So we're going to record these. But that being said, this will be out within a couple of days and it'll be on Speaker, Stitcher, iTunes, all that good stuff. And it will still go out to the YouTube channel for those of you who like to watch live. So
excellent.
Have cake, eat too. So yeah. But Tim, man, hi.
Hi.
You guys, Timmy and I already just recorded a fucking 30-minute podcast. So there's no like we're way past the hellos and how are you? Cause we've been talking guns like we always do and talking dad shit and stuff. But
right.
Post shot show, we wanted to bring Tim back on and another year in the books. 2023 is come and gone, and 2024 is already scheduled, and a quarter of 2025 is already scheduled. And
yeah,
the time's just flying, dude. So I'm so glad you guys, you and your family, you came through another awesome Christmas and holiday season. Good new year. Great.
Yeah.
And it's almost like firing it up and hit the road season again, right?
For a lot of guys, right? 2024, they're already like, they've been hitting the road for a couple of weeks. So I purposely chose to do nothing for like from Christmas until the end of January. So in years past, I had always taken like the month of January kind of like as a rest and reset, recharge the batteries kind of, you know, time frame. So like almost like the teaching like has its season as well. You know, it's like, oh, it's the off season right now. I'm going to focus on life and family and my own progression. And I did not do that for 2023. And I think it was great in some ways because I really got to kind of test my muster, you know, to kind of find out like just what am I like, how am I built? Like, am I ready to do this 48? I think that's about 46 or 48 classes for 2023. But man, by the time, I want to say by the time like middle of October rolled around and I knowing I still had like 6 freaking weeks to go of like back to back to back classes, I was starting to drag some back, you know, like some drag some ass a little bit. I was like, I can't wait for Christmas to get here and New Year's. And like, I had purposely kind of like abstained from doing any sort of classes or training scheduling for January of this year so that I could take just some physical time away from everything and just rest and reset. And it's been epic. So.
Yeah. That schedule, I mean, when you guys want to talk about your favorite firearms trainer, just understand that this guy or girl is jet setting for 4 days of a 7-day week. Easy.
Yep.
So, you know, if you guys are at a weekend class on a Saturday, that person left their family Thursday night or Friday. They got to the range. They did set up. They did all the shit. They talked to the host. They talked to the AI, whoever they're dealing with.
Right.
They did Saturday all day. They did Sunday all day. They either did or did not stay to help with cleanup and fuck around and all the back end stuff. Then they got on a plane and Monday came and went. And now if they're lucky, they're home Tuesday, Wednesday and back right the fuck back at it Thursday.
Yep. Yeah.
So the idea.
Thursday for me is prep day. Like it's like, yeah. I have to dismiss or kind of suspend anything else that I'm going to do, you know, like honeydew list or chores or running errands. Cause like Thursday is always a, you know, for a 2-day Saturday, Sunday class, like Thursday is like, okay, unpack the box, repack the box, make sure I've got ammo, make sure the guns are clean, make sure, you know, like optics are tight and everything's zeroed and all that stuff, you know, do my laundry, repack all my laundry and get things ready to go again. So Thursday really is kind of a work day too, you know, for then a Friday travel day. And for me, like, I don't live, like, you're fortunate, you know, being so close to Harrisburg, like, oh man, Harrisburg's 15 minutes away, 20 minutes away. Like Albuquerque Airport is an hour from me.
Yeah.
Like if I have a 5:45 a.m. flight, it's like go to bed at 8 p.m. on Thursday night to wake up at 3 a.m., you know, hurry up and get dressed in the dark so as not to wake up the rest of the family, grab my shit, load it in the car, and then drive an hour to the airport to the start my day. And then leaving Albuquerque too is like, there's no direct flights anywhere, right? So it's like leave Albuquerque and then spend all day flying from place to place to, you know, to bounce to whatever location I'm going to be at. So it's, I mean, it's, and I, we say this now, and it sounds like, ah, man, that sounds like such a drag. Dude, it's not a drag. Like I freaking love this. I just, yeah, I love spending time with other people. I love making them better. I love coming, you know, getting to come to freaking West Shore and hang out. We got two classes scheduled this year. So I'm stoked for this. I'm truly am the most blessed guy in the universe. So
it's just, I figured I would mention it though, just, and you're not the only person I've mentioned this with in recent episodes. So this is not just a Tim thing, but when these guys are in town or girls are in town, or if I'm in your neck of the woods and I'm there or whatever, we have left our families behind. We've shut it all the fuck down.
Yep.
To be there for y'all for whatever time we're there for.
Yep.
Like, having worked with you as much as I have now, like, if nobody else has ever said this on something that's going to go out to public, my man ain't on the phone with his family every 3 hours all day and ain't doing like other shit for, it's 100% all go. You know, so at least from Friday night until either, you know, Monday or Tuesday, if it's a 2 or 3 day class,
yep,
it's like at 8 p.m. like, hey, honey, hey, kids, love ya. Daddy's doing his business. I'll see
you. Still alive.
Like, and you have to be like, I find myself, at least with you, I find myself being like, yo, I'll hang out with people a minute. Why don't you go fucking chill and call your family? Like,
yeah.
Like, why don't you back down a notch? It's okay. And you never feel like you can, and none of us ever do. Like,
no,
when my name's on the marquee, so to speak, I feel the same way. I don't feel like I can.
Oh, right.
I mean, can back down.
We're paying you to do a job, you know, like, and I've been this way for, you know, the 26 years I worked on cars, you know, for a living as a mechanic. Like, somebody's paying me to do a job, I'm going to give you the best job I possibly can. You know, there's no shortcuts. There's no, you know, oops. It's like, no, it's like I owe you just like you owed me. So, you know, I take this job just as seriously. And, you know, people that say like, oh man, you know, being an independent business owner, yeah, it must be nice. It's like, man, I work 3 times harder now than I ever did when I was employed by, you know, by another company or by somebody else. And you know what? I wouldn't trade it for anything. Like, I fucking love what I do, you know, and I hope it shows. I hope it shows at every class. I hope it shows in podcast. I hope it shows in, I don't know, just anything that I do. I love being able to give 100% to it.
Yeah. There's a very clear distinct, like, you can see the folks who are phoning it in, and you can tell, like, and I don't know, man, they're not on Green Mountain Defense's hosting calendar either. So like, there is that, but it's just so cool to see. One of the things I've loved about this industry is you catch a vibe with somebody and you start doing stuff with them. And one of the things I really enjoy about the people who I continue to work with is they're the same fucking cool guy or better every time I see them.
I appreciate
it. It's not like, oh, let's go put on a show one time so we can get in this market and then either do it or not do it. It's no, that dude, you know, I'm setting up a range and he's like, it's like trying to hammer out of an airport. He's like, put the hammers down. I'll be right there.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, chill. It's fine. Like, it's okay. You can, you know, but I've definitely seen it the other way. I've seen trainers roll into the range at 8:55 on Saturday morning and peace out at 4:55 on Saturday.
Yeah.
And do the same thing again and never offer to help clean, never offer to talk to the students, no class dinner, no hang session afterwards, no investment. They want to know where they can go to lunch to be away from everybody.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, I don't know, like I've never taught hundreds of classes in a year and been all over the globe. So I don't know what that feels like on the other end either. And maybe a guy gets worn down at some point. And I'm not.
Oh, and I get it. You know, I've had those same, like we're friends with instructors that are kind of sometimes like that, you know, and like, if we pointed it out, like, bro, you know, like, no offense, you kind of felt like you phoned that in a little bit. And they're like, well, you don't know what it's like. Or a lot of times, maybe it's not, they teach 100+ classes a year. Maybe it's that they've just been teaching for 25 or 30 years. We've heard that too. They're like, well, you come back and tell me how integrated I need to be into the class or how engaged I need to be after you've done this for 35 years. And it's like, yeah, but like if 35 years I've lost my love for it and it's just a job, I need to find another job. You know,
won't be doing it anymore.
I enjoy the camaraderie. I enjoy making friends, you know, not just with hosts and other instructors, you know, like yourself. I tell people all the time, like, Kent's one of my besties, you know, like the fact you can call me up or I can call you up and we can just, it don't even have to be talking about guns. It's talking about kids. It's talking about wives. It's talking about whatever is like, just that fucking means the world to me. But like, we've had some of the best students come through classes that you and I have taught together too, where it's just like, I'm just as invested in their lives as like extended family as I am invested in their betterment just as a student. You know, it's like, hey, thanks for paying me, but like, how's life going? You know, like, how are you doing? Like, how's work? How's the family? Like, I'm invested in that stuff. I love that, you know?
I love when a student will follow you. This is one of my favorite things. A student will follow the business page and you'll follow them back personally. And then they're like, I don't know if it's okay, but
right.
And they'll add you personally. Like, they'll add your personal profile. Uh-huh. And I'm immediately like, yep.
Approve.
What's up, man? And they're
exactly.
And they're like, oh, hey, well, I didn't want to be. And I'm like, dude, I'm not Taylor Swift. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm a dude. We're just all, at the end of the day, we're guys. And you're cool. Or like even like some like even girls are like hitting us up and like, hey, is this weird? I'm like, totally weird if you make it weird, homegirl. Like, we could be friends, but you know, just chill and like they'll laugh. And I'm like, I know I'm stunningly gorgeous, but you know, like you always have fun with people though. And then you get to know somebody's spouse. Like, I haven't met, like, I don't want to say particular names, but I could, and you would know who I was talking about. I know her through shooting and I don't know him, but I feel like I know him. Like, how many of those are there?
Oh, tons.
That's so fucking cool. And then you see him somewhere, like for me, you know, I get up and down the coast a little bit and I'm in like the Carolinas and we've run into each other at a shooting event. And she's like, what? I'm like, hey, how are you? I met you at Tim's class. What's up? And we're talking. And she's like, this is my husband. And he's like, oh, you're the dude's voice I hear in bed at 10:30 at night when she's watching a podcast. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, bro. It could be a lot worse though. You know, it's just so weird though. It's such a thing of all the connections you would have never made if you didn't pick up the torch and start doing that.
Absolutely. You know, and it's really cool. Like, not just to get to spend time with them on the range in a class or whatnot, but then like to go to a match someplace or, you know, to a training event where I just want to be a student. And, you know, I show up as a student and it's like, now I get to share the line with people that I've also shared the range with as a trainer to a student. And now it's like, now we're just all students together. And that's super cool. I mean, like I said, I don't take this for granted for an instant, you know, it's great.
It's really neat. Well, I actually did like a professional thing and I sent Tim a text message ahead of time.
Yeah.
Of what we were going to talk about. And we have an agenda. This is like,
that's right. Straight the ties. So,
The first thing we have to get out of the way, though, that wasn't on the agenda that now is you need to promote your own damn podcast. You picked up you picked up the torch again. You like you were out of the game. You're all rusty.
Yeah.
You're all it's been years. And you looked and you're like fucking slinging lead, slacking. All these other podcasts suck. Fuck Matt Landfair. Fuck all these dudes. Like, I am coming back, baby.
So you're back. So I love being a guest on other folks' podcasts. It's kind of helped scratch the itch, you know, for me wanting to share information and podcast myself. I mean, I've been kind of a co-host on a few podcasts over the years. You know, kind of most recent was the Make Ready podcast, which then became the Perfect Double podcast with Eric Steiner and Kenny Platt. We did that for a couple of years, which was good. Especially kind of like really serving the competitive shooting community. But yeah, I've had a good time. Like really, I've had a blast just kind of being a guest on other people's podcasts. But so a local friend of mine, a guy by the name of Josh Zolwick, who I shoot with fairly regularly, regular for me, right? Yeah, you know, it's that's a relative term, but fairly regularly the last couple of months, Josh had been like chomping at the bit. He was like, dude, have you ever thought about like maybe getting in and doing another podcast? And I was like, yeah, you know, I was like, the problem is like, it always depends on who the host is going to like the co-host is going to be and timing and scheduling. I said, it's always tough to put those things together. And Josh was like, man, I had this idea for a long time to kind of, to do a podcast that would kind of serve, you know, not like be able to serve nationally the entire like kind of shooting industry as a whole, but really to also kind of like better serve like the New Mexico or Southwest, you know, kind of populace. And I was like, man, that would be awesome. So we tried it out and we haven't determined a podcast like app provider yet. Like, we don't know if we're going to do like iPod podcast or whatever, or where we're going to go with this. So currently we've recorded like 3 episodes. I think we just dropped episode 2 yesterday evening. Right now they're just on the YouTube and then kind of sharing them where we're at, but we're looking at like service, you know, to be able to kind of promote the podcast more through too and do those kind of things. But yeah, it's called the Low Port podcast. We thought it was kind of just obviously a funny play on words for kind of USPSA, IDPA. So it's not competitive shooting, but it is obviously Josh and I both are competitive shooters. He's primarily been a 3-gun guy for a long time. God bless him anyway. So, I do USPSA. I do some IDPA stuff and we plan on doing a bunch of stuff with it. You know, we'd love to have, you know, mutual friends and guests on too. So eventually, you know, here, hopefully pretty soon, I'll be able to invite you on to be a guest on our podcast. And, but you know, we talk to different trainers I want to kind of keep in the grand scheme of things, kind of like where a lot of other podcasts have kind of rolled, but at the same time, be able to do other things too. Like instead of it always being like my idea for a podcast, it always been like, man, instead of always getting like the top ranked best grandmasters in the country or the top ranked best trainers in the country, what about like average Joe? Like, what about your average, you know, like, man, I've been shooting USPSA for 6 months. I want to talk to that guy. I want to bring that guy or gal on a podcast and like, what brought you into the sport or what brought you into training? What brought you into the fold of the 2A community? And what can we do better to welcome more of folks just like you, you know? And that's kind of what I see my goal being too, is like to have a lot of cool guests, but also a lot of regular folks, you know, like, I don't mean that like in a greeting term, but just regular folks that are like, I would love to talk about my experience with, you know, a training class that I took or a match that I shot or, you know, whatever. So
that's really cool, man. Well, congrats. Welcome back to the fold.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So cool. You guys, offline, if you need software help, I'll just subcontract TJ and he'll make it all work. It'll be fine.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'll just tell him to fucking, we struggle with fucking TJ is a like executive level manager in an IT company.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't keep up with podcast software.
Well, that's the same thing.
Like, Jesus.
My wife said the same thing. She's like, yeah, you know, so you're going to do this podcast thing as if teaching, you know, 40 plus classes a year and traveling all the time and shooting, you know, 12 major matches a year wasn't enough on your plate. Sure. Sure, yep. Babe. You should totally just add a podcast on there too. And I'm like, well, yeah. And so I think it's a better format sometimes, especially when we talk like training stuff. where like a 2 minute or 5 minute video on Instagram or YouTube just doesn't cut it, you know? So I'm going to find other ways and better outlets to maybe, you know, like to be able to give away, like our friend Scott Jedlinski would say, giving away the free milk, you
know? That's it, man. So, well, here's what will happen. I promise you this. If you stick with it, you'll get 4,000 repeat downloads from the same 2,500 guys who don't know how to use their iPhone. So they download it twice. And you'd be fucking, I'm telling you, man, that's the exact number. I'm always suspicious when I look at Buzzsprout. I'm like, you fucking tell me every one of these gets the exact same amount of like two within seven or eight, really? Like, but it's the same. I swear to God, we have all the same follow. Like, so
yeah,
every single my podcast subscriber, go subscribe to Lowport. I'm sure they'll go, you know, it'll take them a while to find you.
Yeah.
But it's what I find funny is like our genre, we're already sort of a cottage industry as it is.
Oh, absolutely. All these
dudes like to say the industry with a bro after it because it feels cool. But like compared to, I don't know, tires or something, like,
oh yeah,
any fucking real industry, like we're really small as it is. And then training is even a smaller niche in that industry.
Yep.
So
100%.
The listener base is pretty much like the same couple thousand people. Yep. And, you know, they all say, it's funny because they all say, like, oh, there's enough podcasts, but then they'll download them all and eventually listen. Like, you won't get traction live as much.
Right.
But boy, will they get downloaded the next time they're on a road trip. They'll listen to like 80 of your things at once.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's
cool. You know that. Yeah, fuck yeah. You'll know that because you'll get a call from a listener who's like, hey, I was just listening to you last night. You were talking about blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that was fucking 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I got a question. I'm like, bro, that was fucking 6 months ago. Like, you got to keep me. Hold on. Like, let me go listen to it. I don't know what the fuck. I make half the shit up. I say when I say it, dude. I don't know.
What are you talking about?
I said what? Like, you know, so you gotta pay attention to that shit too. But I can't wait. Yep. I can't wait to be on. I can't wait to listen. I haven't listened yet because I catch them all. I don't catch them on YouTube. I catch them all on Apple or something. Because,
well, and one of the things that we've been trying to do too with this one, like for Josh and I, like I told Josh, I'm like, it's really important too. Like, so many can be like really, really long winded and go like, God, we all know like Matt Landfair and primary and secondary can go like 7, 8, 12 hours long. Right. I ain't nobody got time for that. So we kind of want to keep these more shorter format is kind of our goal too, like 30 to 40 minutes kind of max. So that, you know, people can listen it to their, you know, their 30 minute commute to work or, you know, a 45 minute drive to the range or something like that too. You know, and still keep it informative and keep it interesting and engaging without it being super long winded. Like, yes, Jesus, Tim, you've reiterated that point 17 times now. We're on, you know, 2 hour and 57 minute mark. Like, I don't want that. So I can't listen to those podcasts like that either. So,
well, if you clip them up too, one of the things we're doing with these recordings now that we're doing it this way is like, if by some chance one of us says some smart shit tonight,
right,
and it's like 10 minutes long, we can clip that out and put that out there.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't have to be, you know, the whole schmoggle. But anyway, right. Lowport podcast, it'll be on all the fucking podcatchers once they get their shit together. If you're going to just use Buzzsprout so it goes everywhere. It takes longer to do in the beginning, but once it's done, it's done.
Cool. Okay.
And then it fucking just populates. Now, because now TJ does it once and it goes everywhere rather than.
He's got to go to
manual labor going every individual which way. And yeah. Buzzsprout gives you killer stats. Like I can really go deep if you want to talk to advertisers or companies or whatever. And companies don't want to hear, you know, only a few companies ever want to talk to Green Mountain Defense or Sling and Lead Podcast about 2,500 downloads per episode. But when you kind of parse it out and you're like, no, you don't understand. These are 2,500 to 4,000 people. I swear to God, it's the same people, but you know, whatever, the number's four. So we're going to stick with it.
Right.
But you look and you go, man, I'm going to tell you this much. this dude spends 10 to 20 large on training and matches and travel every year. So do you want to advertise to him or don't you?
Right.
Maybe you do. I don't know. Just saying. So anyway, but that's really cool. I'm glad you're firing it up.
Well, thank
you. That's going to be good listening. I've definitely gone back and listened to Perfect Double and Make Ready, and my phone's just lonely on my iPad, on my iPhone podcast feed. It's just stuck at, do you even El Prez, bro? And it doesn't go any further than that. So I'm always like, oh, I have the same feelings about Jedi too. Jedi's podcast was killing it. And then he just stopped, and you know,
yep. But I get it. You know, like you get going on the road all the time. It's just, it's hard. It's really tough to keep. So
it's work. Yep. So in the interest of other new things, you got to work on a pistol.
I did.
For a company.
So obviously most everybody knows me as kind of being a Nighthawk custom guy. And I am like 100% tried and true. That's my number one kind of like industry level of my life. You know, like Nighthawk's been very, very good to me. The great thing about with working with Nighthawk is they've allowed me obviously freedoms to kind of spread my wings and do other things as well. So I was reached out by a company 2.5-3 years ago. Some of you might know who they are. They're out of a little town called Black Creek, Georgia, called Daniel something or another. I think Daniel Defense. But anyway, they were interested in having my feedback and some consultation on this little firearm project they had. And it's something they kind of picked up on and kind of kept the ball rolling on from a now defunct firearm that like hit the ground hot and heavy back in 2016, 2017, that weirdly enough, I was invited into the fold with that company and offered a job to kind of be a technical advisor for that company. Unfortunately, I couldn't take it at the time. Kids were still growing and at the house and things. So I turned that job down, and then it's like it's destiny kind of brought me back together with this particular project. But so Daniel Defense decided to try their hand at build a pistol. So they purchased the H9 design from the now defunct Hudson and completely re-engineered and redesigned it, like from the ground up. Obviously, there were a lot of shortcomings with the Hudson. It seemed a very promising gun, very promising design. And when it came out, I mean, people just absolutely like sang its accolades. Unfortunately, because of a lot of vendor issues, Hudson, I think, kind of bit off maybe a little bit more than they could chew as far as like financially with different vendors and things. And unfortunately, we've seen this happen time and time again with, you know, with kind of boutique firearm companies or startups, is they just couldn't afford to keep the doors open and they had to let it go. Marty Daniels, Daniel's Defense, saw a lot of interest and saw some potential in kind of what the H9, you know, innovatively kind of brought to the table, and decided to purchase the patents. So as soon as they purchased the patents, instead of just redesigning it real quick and being like, hey, we're going to, you know, we're just going to come out with this new pistol and, you know, like, I don't know, put a little lipstick on a pig and call it good kind of thing, they hired an entire team of engineers to completely engineer every single deficiency that the initial Hudson H9 had. So the new Daniel Defense H9 kind of looks similar to what the Hudson was, but the Hudson had a much more distinct, like bigger, lower front dust cover that almost covered the entire front of the trigger guard. Striker fired 1911 style trigger, double stack. So it takes a 15 round magazine in a compact design. It'll be a 17 to 19 round, I believe, is kind of what they've slated for possibly a full size gun. And they were looking for like legit dudes to come in and kind of consult on the project, give them their feedback. So I have had my hand kind of on this pistol in some way, shape or form since I think 2021 or 22 into 2021, I think is when I shot the first like experimental version of the gun. Had some things I thought were really cool and some other things I was like, yeah, this needs to be changed and this should be tweaked. The great thing was, is they were willing to listen to all of the input that I could provide them. And just about every single change that I asked them to make for like fit, feel, function, and formalities was all pretty well all addressed. So this is the finalized version. This is kind of the production model, or this isn't kind of, this is, I think, like the first kind of production model that's going to be available to the public, I think, since SHOT Show. So, and pretty happy with the kind of the end results. I mean, I can't necessarily put my name on it or anything, but it's definitely got my stamp of approval of things. A few things that people, I think, were kind of talked about at SHOT Show, as they were, I think maybe they were expecting something a little different than what they got. Everybody like hears 1911 style trigger and they think immediately like, oh, I'm going to get this beautiful, crisp, clean glass rod break, 3 pound, you know, 1911 style trigger. And because it's a striker fired gun and it was primarily set up, obviously, as a defensive, you know, project first and foremost, it's not that. So the triggers, I don't want to say it's numb, but the trigger has got, it's got a completely different kind of trigger shoe safety. It's also got a different kind of take up when it hits the wall before it then breaks the sear. And of course, then for production model stuff, everybody's had their complaints over the last 50 years with like production style 1911s. There's been good ones and there's been subpar ones and there's been horrifically bad ones, right? So some of like, I think we all know, like you can pick up an old rattle trap Colt from the gun shop and pick it up and cock the hammer back. And the trigger is not that 3 pound glass rod. You know, it's got 15 different levels of take up. It's crunchy all the way through. The trigger breaks. It's weird. You know, it's got a lot of over travel and things like that. So that's when we send it to our favorite gunsmith and they go and do all of their magic to it and work the voodoo on it. And then we end up with a pretty nice 1911. Kind of going to be, I don't want to say it's going to be that way. It's not a terrible trigger, but it's not, if you're expecting a full Nighthawk custom style trigger in a $1,200 striker fired 1911 style trigger system, that ain't what you're getting, you know, but it's an alloy frame. It's got a very, I hate to use this term, but like a low bore axis. It's got a really, really high grip, high beaver tail. It does have an extended beaver tail to kind of keep your hand from getting it too high behind the slide so you don't get slide bite like you would with a Glock or, you know, sometimes like the M&Ps and things like that will happen. Controls are all ambi. So ambi thumb safety is like really even for my little hands is kind of right in the right spot. So even like with my thumb, I can operate the thumb safety. It's got an alloy frame as well as like a stainless steel slide. Match grade barrel, or not really match grade, but stainless steel barrel. And it truly has, like, if you pull the slide apart, oh, and it's optic ready. So, and the gun, you call up Daniel Defense and they'll send you the plate that you need for your optic as well. But yeah, I mean, the insides of the frame, inside of the gun as well, all the fire controls are indeed, they're not exactly 1911, but they are very 1911-esque. Right. So it uses a 1911 style disconnector and a 1911 style sear face, the same style trigger bar or trigger bow, just like we see in a 1911 or 2011 in this gun, too. So which is pretty cool and very promising for like the gunsmith that kind of maybe wants to dip their hand in the water, you know, dip their toe a little bit in, so to speak, in a like maybe doing some customization on this. I think this gun itself is going to lend itself to like, you're going to see some like sub 1 pound triggers and crazy other neat shit with these guns probably in 6 months to a year. So
just send AJ Zito one and like
that might be on the agenda.
just, hey, some friends of mine sent me this. Can you please?
Yeah, no, I'm very excited. It's neat to see the fruits of their labor. I know all the engineers and Daniel Defense has been like, they've been really, really, you know, working hard on this. And like every time they thought they had it done, then they'd bring me back out. I'd come and take a look at it. It was like, oh, that's good, man. Thanks for like, man, you've improved that. That's good. But, and they're like, oh shit, no more buts, you know? And, but the great thing was, is instead of just like completely, like most companies would just kind of dismiss anything. They were like, but what, like, what do you feel? What do you like? What do you dislike? What can we make better? And so like it's really cool to, you know, to kind of say I had a hand in helping, you know, kind of helping the engineers kind of figure some things out with this thing and give them my true valued feedback. Some of the feedback they love to hear. And I'm sure a lot of the feedback, they were like, meh, we're not too happy with that. But you know what? I'm going to give you my honest opinion. So, but no, I like the gun in its production form. You know, like I said, I don't want to say I'm 100% disappointed, but I'm a little disappointed, you know, with kind of the sponginess trigger feel. I get what they're after. They hit the mark. I think it's going to be a great gun. Like, I really do. I just got this just the other day. I have been gone and on the road, so I haven't had an opportunity to really put a whole lot of rounds or anything through it, but I'm excited to probably, hopefully within the next like 3 months, to put like 10 to 15,000 rounds through this gun itself, and to also take this gun to classes with me and put it in the hands of other students and let them experience it and shoot it. So
that's really neat, man. So just how many times in total would you say you were, like, without giving away, like, how many iterations of they did it gone and then they asked for feedback and then you gave feedback, and how many steps are in that process that you were involved in?
For me, it's been at least, I think, three to four. Okay. So almost every year that I go to Georgia and teach a class around Savannah, because Black Creek's just down the road from Savannah, Georgia, I'd stop by the shop, talk to guys. They'd put something in my hands, you know, take me into their range and let me blast on it a bit, beat it up, you know, tell them what I liked, what I didn't like. And like I said, I mean, it was cool. True, like, sit downs and things with them. That's been, I want to say a little less than that, like maybe three out of the three or four times that I've been there. But like significant, like, okay, we're going to spend the entire day or 2 days. I'm here for the weekend. Let's sort some shit out, kind of thing. It's been really, really cool. Also went down there and got to work with their engineers and a lot of their staff, and taught a class for them too, last year. And that was a lot of fun and very interesting. And we got to kind of ring out the new pistol along with, comparing it against, you know, comparing it and contrasting it against other, you know, other guns on the market that they're kind of looking to kind of put this gun against, and get actually their own engineering feedback on things like, well, I like this when I'm doing this kind of drill. I don't like this when I'm doing this. I like this other gun better. And how do we make the H9 either match or exceed these other pistols in all these areas, which was really cool.
So I asked that question to point something out. This is a consulting relationship where a company goes out and finds a professional level end user to ask them for that sort of feedback. Mm-hmm. And I'm attempting to highlight the difference between a guy getting a message on Instagram said, "Hey, bro, do you want to represent our product for the cool new fucking," like, it's just not the same thing when you're dealing with a company who's actually looking for product feedback.
Correct. And like I said, a lot of the feedback I gave him wasn't good feedback, you know, and I wouldn't sing the gun's praises. I mean, I could probably go out and shoot it, you know, this week or next week whenever I'm home, and there might be things I dislike about it. And you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm willing 100% to divulge those things as well. You know, there might be a barrel issue with this one. I don't know. You know, it might be an ammo issue. I don't know. Like I said, I've shot maybe two magazines through this towards the evening time. Not really enough time to kind of get behind the gun, inspect targets, and really make some critical, you know, to have some critical thoughts about things. But there are a few things I like and a few things I wish they'd have put a little bit different iron sights on it but I'd made that suggestion multiple times to them. And I think that's one of the things where they were just like, this is what we got. And I'm like, okay, whatever, you know, but they did listen to me. I remember, like, the first model wasn't set up for being optics ready. But I told them, like, before you come to market with this thing, like, that shit needs to change, you know. Yeah. Like, you can't come out with a gun in 2023, 2024 and it not be optics ready, guys. Like, that ain't going to fly. So, and
you're the only person left that shoots iron sights. So, like,
yeah, you know, I like them, but like I said, these iron sights I'm not real crazy about. I wish they'd give me a wider blade, a little bit narrower notch, and then a thinner front sight with a smaller fiber. But again, sights are one of those things also too. It's like, it's really up to the end user. There are probably a lot of folks that, like, these would be perfect. You know, they're not plastic sights, like some manufacturers continue to put on guns. So
are they dovetailed in such a way that they can be changed with something common?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the great thing. So, and I believe they use a SIG cut dovetail for the rear sight and front sight.
It does look SIG-y. Yeah.
Yep. So they're using a U-notch rear sight with like 150 thousandths wide And then like 150,000 front wide front sight as well. So, I mean, it's really blocky sights, which, like I said, just not my cup of tea. They could be a lot of folks' cup of tea, but they're not mine. So, I mean, the first thing I would do is I'd probably reach out to a company like Dawson or somebody that makes really good sights and say, hey, Dawson, make me a rear sight that's like as wide as the slide profile, and give me a narrower notch and give me a narrower front sight. And I'd be perfectly happy with that. But there's nothing wrong with these either. I mean, they give you a good like high vis fiber optic front sight, a solid serrated rear, rear sight. It's been good. So.
Well, it's a neat process. I'm just now getting to the point where I'm working with any manufacturer at all. And I've never gotten to do anything pre-production. Like I'm now advising, Cosint on stuff that's already at market.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I can change what's already out.
Right.
But I'm at least giving direct feedback.
Sure.
And that's like, that feels like a neat privilege. It'd be so cool, to get to start on the ground. Well, pretty well the ground floor with the company's intervention in something.
Absolutely.
And I remember, I mean, dude, I was so psyched when that came out I think it was 2016. I only think I heard about that gun in 2016 because I remember I was plowing the Vermont house. Like I was listening to a podcast in headphones on the ATV plowing out in Vermont. And I was listening to somebody's podcast. It wasn't Matt. It was, it was Baraka's. It was a civilian carry radio. Baraka James is no longer here. He's no longer with us. I remember listening to Baraka talk about that gun, and I was like, oh, that sounds really space age. That sounds cool as shit. And of course, it never, like so many of those things we've heard about, it never went anywhere. So to see that A, it went somewhere, B, a company like Daniel Defense that I've always loved anyway, and C, a guy like yourself, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, Tim, you got one for the home team. This is so cool.
Well, and it's cool. I'm really into it. There was no preconceived notions of like, hey, you're going to represent Daniel Defense, or we want to steal you away from Nighthawk or anything. It was just like, hey man, like you're a high level shooter and you put a lot of rounds down range and you seem pretty knowledgeable, like mechanically and things like that. Would you be interested in? And I was like, well, yeah, and that was a very, like, to me, it was quite the high honor to be able to, to kind of like to work with a company on something new. But it was also kind of neat how like full circle, like I said, I remember getting a phone call from Cy Hudson back in like 2016, asking me if I was interested in like coming to work for Hudson, and then I think Hudson made, what was it, 2016 or 2017? No, it had to been 2016 when they introduced the Hudson H9, and it was the SHOT Show Firearm of the Year.
Yeah, it was the gun of the year.
It was the product of the year. And I mean, just it was amazing to see that. And it was very unfortunate. They couldn't kind of leverage where they were in the industry to kind of improve the product or keep it going. But it's really cool that somebody else kind of saw the way of the gun and saw the interest in it to like pick up the pieces and move on and work with it and improve it. So like all of the shortcomings of the original Hudson have been addressed, right? The extraction issues, the ejection issues, the feed issues, the longevity issues have been like I would like to say they've all been resolved. Most of the experimental or beta testing models that they had well over anywhere between, I think initially 25,000 to 30,000 rounds was kind of their torture test. And then after that, they were like, okay, let's put a finish on it and then put it in the hands of engineers. And those guys can go take them to classes and, we'll pass them out and let people shoot them. I mean, I'm pretty sure they've got three or four of their beta test guns that had exceeded well over 100,000 rounds with no breakages, before they were like, okay, I think we have a gun now that we can take to market. So they seem like they really did their due diligence on this. So I will be pretty surprised if it has shortcomings that, that need to be addressed or, that maybe I didn't foresee or they didn't foresee.
Well, I mean, not for nothing, but these guys are renowned for doing it right the first time when it comes to rifles and stuff.
Well, and that's the whole thing too, right? I mean, it was, it was rumored the Daniel Defense, I think, picked up the, you know, picked up the patent or whatever it was, like late 2018 or 2019 or whatever. Right. And I think people were immediately like, okay, Daniel Defense is going to have this thing back on the market by 2019 or 2020. And it was like, wait, it's 2024. And it's like, yeah, you know, like, because they didn't want to just rush it in. They wanted to make sure it was correct. So it's good to see.
That's awesome. And now that, and like, we're still on new guns. So now you've got this other new gun that you're shooting like with other kids in their basement. Oh, and they're like, oh fuck, like, what the fuck is this? So virtual shooting?
So yeah. So a good friend of mine, I'm sure you probably have heard, a gentleman by the name of Matt Little owns a training company called Graybeard Actual. Matt's been a
Graybeard Actual will be at West Shore in 2025.
Excellent. Excellent. Matt's good people. Yeah. So Matt obviously hosted me last year before last, and he hosted AJ and I for our Train for Mastery class, in Temple, Texas, first week in December. And so AJ and I go, we hang out with Matt, and Matt graciously puts us in his house, you know, lets us stay with him. And he was like, you guys got to check this out, you know? And so he's been kind of a spokesperson. Like, yep, he'd been beta testing the ACE virtual training system, I want to say, for like almost a solid year, when ACE initially built like their little Staccato 2011 controllers for like the Meta Quest virtual reality systems. Back during the Prairie Fire competition, what was that, like the end of 2021 or 2022, whenever it was. And they did a virtual competition with it. So Matt got one of the first like systems, and has been running it for like about a year now. And so, of course, he straps headsets on AJ and I and gives us an opportunity to kind of play around with it. And AJ and I were both like, this is fucking unbelievable. Like, it's very, very true to life as far as like visual pattern recognition, sights, how you move the gun left, right, high or low. So sight deviation, dot deviation, targetry, transitions, all the visual exercise, everything that we do in shooting, with the exception of recoil management. But even then, you have to control, like, you have to grip the piss out of the controller in order to press the trigger and not disturb what the gun's doing in recoil. So, I mean, you're getting effectively 99% of what shooting is in reality in a virtual reality setting. The only thing that doesn't change is you're not getting the felt recoil in the hands, but you're getting the perceived recoil visually. So like, it plays tricks on your brain where you've got to wait on the gun to kind of settle. Or if you grip the gun like harder and stronger and better, and you can manipulate the trigger without moving the gun, then the gun obviously stays flatter in the game as well. I mean, it's pretty drastically incredible, like, technology, what they've done with that game system. And Ace,
and I'm going to pretend, like, hold on.
Eight people.
I'm going to pretend I don't know these things because I've already researched it all and I'm already probably going to buy one and whatever. Right. But I'm going to ask you the questions that I was asking as I was looking this up.
Okay.
After seeing you and Matt, like, my first thought right off the rip was like, are we fucking shooting like dragons or Draculas or zombies or like what? Like, so, I thought this was a game. Like, I thought this was a game.
So it can be a game. So it's a virtual reality system, right? Called ACE training or ACE virtual training. And so what they do is, like, you pay it's $240. So it's $20 a month for a subscription, and that monthly and you basically pay for it up front. It's $240, and they send you a pistol controller that actually has a true to life trigger that has a take up, you know, takes up the slack, a take up, a break, a wall, the whole nine yards, right? That actuates then the controller that you mount to the top of this pistol controller, utilizing a controller from either like the Meta Quest 2 or Meta Quest 3. Or Oculus
systems, the VR headset.
Right. Correct. So it doesn't require a PC. It doesn't require any crazy gaming hardware or anything like that. You can simply go to Walmart and buy a $250, you know, Meta Quest 2 system. And then for the price of one case of 9mm ammo, you get a pistol and a 12-month subscription to the ACE virtual training system. And so that ACE virtual training system has everything from, now that granted, they do have some games on there, like a whack-a-mole game where like poppers pop up at different locations and, you know, it's how long you can keep going without missing. There, I think there's a zombie shoot game, you know, but yeah, they do legit like USPSA stages. There's USPSA classifiers, there's stand and shoot stuff, there's steel and poppers, there's transitions wide and narrow. They've got everything from like my throttle controller, like Ben's accelerator, like Ben Steger's accelerator drills. There's all sorts of different drills and skills, technique building things as well within the game. Or I see,
you know, where
in the system.
You know where this is going, right? This is going to be like Madden. And in a couple of years, we're all going to have like name, image and likeness contracts. And you're going to be able to play as Tim.
Or like,
if you want to lose, you could play as Kent, and you could like be, you can like put Tim and Kent together, and we can race each other.
So they already do that. So this has got multiplayer. This has got multiplayer capabilities. In fact, AJ and I, 3 or 4 days ago, were on the range in ACE shooting drills against each other, you know, and basically practicing. I've also utilized this system already for a 30-minute virtual online training system with a student.
Oh shit.
So yeah, this is and excuse my language, but this is a fucking game changer.
Oh shit. I didn't even think of that.
Yep. So I've had my system for about 3.5 weeks now, and I've already exceeded 63,000 rounds.
I saw that. So, it's shot 63,000.
I've developed a little bit of tendonitis.
Oh, yeah.
The trigger 64,000 plus times. And I've already got a little nerve impingement in my wrist from how hard you're like gripping and pulling the gun to secure it against your dominant hand. I mean, like, it's no joke. In a 15-minute kind of virtual dry fire session, you're gonna whip your own ass, like gripping the gun and moving the gun and fatiguing your eyes and moving everything around. It's cool. I've even got a holster. So you can actually draw the gun from a holster in legit real life. So
what holster?
I'm using an old Blade Tech holster I had. And so the pistol controller is kind of based on a P320. So if you got a P320 holster, the pistol controller might be slightly wider than an actual P320 gun. So I took the top retention screw out of it and the gun sits directly in the holster. So I can work on drawing the gun from a holster, doing transitions. It has a working mag release. So when you press the mag release, the magazine in the system, like the gun, the mag falls out of the gun, and it requires a tap, like a smack on the bottom of the gun to replicate inserting a magazine and dropping the slide. You can also rack the slide for like malfunction clearances and all kinds of, I mean, it's fucking pretty
incredible. So first of all, 60 some thousand rounds. How many Hot Pockets did you eat?
Not enough.
did you get your homework done?
Yes.
These forced video game jokes are not really landing the way they need to, but it's okay. I'm going to keep telling them.
I'm almost 47 years old. I'm like, I don't really play video games, but man, I've been using the shit out of it. So, I mean, and you can get caught up. I mean, you can shoot gaming wise. I mean, you can try to just be the top of the leaderboard all the time on every single drill or exercise and treat it like a game, or you can legit treat it like a training system. I think of it as an extension of my dry fire. So there are times I put it on at 10, 11 o'clock at night, rest of the family's gone to bed, and I'm out in the fucking middle of the living room, you know, swinging a plastic gun, clickety clacking my trigger, you know, but the only person that can hear anything is like when you get the headset on is the speakers directed to your ears. So it's quiet. You don't have to worry about a beep, you know, from your timer, you know, in the middle of the night, waking the rest of the family up. It has a legit timer on your belt. It looks like in the game. So you can go through and look at all of your timer data as well. So you can look at your draw to first shot. You can look at your splits, your transitions, everything. So yeah, I mean, there's times I'll strap it on at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And I'm like, all right, who's my bitch today? Like, who do I need to beat? Who do I need to show who's boss? You know, and I want to climb up the leaderboards. And then there's other times I'm generally putting it on for about 10 to 15 minutes a day as a supplement to my regular dry fire. So I'll run the system for 15, 20 minutes, and then I'll hang it back up, park it, and then I'll put my regular gear on, and I'll work on, like, what's it feel like transitioning with my actual gun and actually doing reloads and things like that as well. The great thing is the controller itself has been weighted in ACE. So the controller they send you is weighted to the same weight as a typical, like, 43 to 44 ounce pistol. So you're not just swinging around like this inert piece of plastic. It's got the same weight and heft to it as an actual pistol.
That's really neat. So cost breakdown wise, we're talking $240 for a subscription for a year.
For a year. And you just pay it up front for a year. They send you a controller, and then you use your Quest controller. So if you already have a legit, like, a Quest system, a Quest 2 or a Quest 3, then you're great. If you don't, like I said, go buy a cheap $250. Sometimes you can find them on, like, Facebook Marketplace for like $150 or whatever. You don't need a lot of memory or anything. The game, because you're paying a $240 subscription, their servers are basically what is storing the contents of the game on it. So the game, that the app of the game basically only takes like 1 gig of your, like, 128 gig memory space of your virtual reality system. So, and they are constantly updating new drills. They wash the leaderboards off. So, like, even though you might set the top score, you're like, yeah, I'm the man. This week you are, but by next Tuesday, bitch, you better get back out there because somebody's going to take your name. So, which keeps it fresh and exciting. They're adding new drills and exercises all the time. They're adding new stages all the time. Generally, after a week or two, you know, like, something novel like this, I'm pretty well, like, I've washed my hands of it. You know, I was that way with, like, the Mantis X system. I was that way with the Cool Fire trainers and the Cert trainers. Like, after a week, you're like, meh, whatever. I'm just going to go back to dry fire. This has kept me solidly engaged for 64,000 plus trigger presses. I couldn't afford 64,000 rounds of ammunition, but for the cost of basically one case of ammo, I've now already, just since the third day or fourth day or whatever it was in January to now, I have shot 64,000 rounds of, you know, through a gun, whether it be virtual or real. The trigger feel, trigger press, and grip is the same no matter what.
That's pretty fucking cool. So, excuse me while I go on greedmountaindefense.com and add a virtual dry fire made a class fucking, like, that's a good idea.
It's awesome.
That's really cool. So I have a particular, I was looking into the headsets.
Uh-huh.
I got to get the prescription glasses inserts for the headset, I think.
Yes.
So I think I got to fuck with that.
Yep.
But I'll try to get a headset that'll fit over my glasses.
And so, and other than that, like I said, the standard headset, the only thing I would recommend is, like, the headsets themselves have like a weird, just elastic style, like, strap that kind of straps everything on. You can get on Amazon for like $20 and buy like a mechanical, like, ratchet style headset,
like a hard hat.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So, and you can ratchet the system, so you can pull it a little closer to your eyes and pull it on your face. So, and they're counterweighted, so you don't feel like you're dragging around 5 pounds of stuff on the front of your face. I will say the caveat to that is spend $40 and at least buy one that has an external battery that you can plug into your Quest, because I promise you, an hour on the system ain't long enough sometimes. Like, you're just like, oh man, I'm finally just in my rhythm. And of course, then the Quest is like, boop, boop, boop. Now, battery's at 5%. You're like, what? You know? And yeah, it's, so having a headset that's got an external battery pack to give you like 3 to 4 hours of life on them, dude, it's legit. It's legit.
So here we are. 2024 was the year that gaming and shooting has merged together, and we're now fucking reviewing video game systems.
Yeah. You can call it a video
nerd.
Game.
Nerd.
I know.
Nerd. It's, like, we'd have been beating these guys up 10 years ago.
It's almost like, I hate to even call it a video game, because I mean, it's got gaming aspects of it, but it's a legit trainer. So, which is cool. It's cool to see.
That's really, really neat. I can't I can't wait. I'm gonna have to set. So every year I'm like, oh, I'm gonna be fiscally responsible and like not spend a bunch of money on a bunch of shenanigans and it'll be fine. And every like 15th of the year, like by January 15th, I'm like, well, my boy Timmy's got a pistol that I gotta go try now. And now I gotta go buy a video game system. And you know, the next thing you know, you're like, I was fiscally responsible. I for sure didn't spend $3,000 in January. Yeah. I promise.
So don't even worry about the pistol right now. I would say honestly, the ACE system with a Meta Quest 2 would be the way to go, like more than anything else. Because like I said, just for the fact that to have the opportunity to press a legit trigger 60,000+ times in less than a month is, I mean, there's something to be said for like improvement of skill.
That's so cool. Well, I'm for sure going to do both. I just have to pretend I wanted to be fiscally responsible for, you know,
and because it's an actual trainer, it's also a tax write-off for a trainer.
Yeah. The chief operating Sophie of Green Mountain Defense.
She'll love it. She'll love it.
I bet she will. Then she'll get better than me. This is awesome. I love it. Is there are you able to like make videos and send them to people? Or are you able to like get video output from it?
Yep. You can totally cast everything as well. And you can cast it right to your phone and then just save the phone, like, you know, save it into photos or whatever in your phone. And yeah, I mean, you can cut, splice, edit the whole nine yards.
So you could foreseeably like have a student in it at the indoor range, like at the classroom level, you could have a student running it and you could be watching a monitor of what they're seeing.
100%.
Oh shit. So yeah.
The other thing that I'm working with the ACE guys now is to be able to integrate like actual mirroring so that not only can I be on the range, right, with a student in the virtual realm, but I can also, like, when that student is shooting, I can see through my headset exactly what the student sees. I can see how they're aligning their dot to the targets. I can see how they're moving the gun while they're pressing the trigger. I can see if they're pulling off the targets too quickly or not. Versus like, you know, kind of after the fact, when you're looking at the targets, you're like, oh, you must have pulled off on that. I can see exactly what they can see. So, and that is what I'm working with them now. Like, I've already given them tons of input, the guys at ACE. I'm like, I want you to do this. And we really need to integrate that. And if you really want this, and they're like, oh my God, this is awesome. Slow down, but we're taking notes. And so, yeah, they like legitimately what I would like it to be is a great way for me to be able to touch, like to reach more students from across the country, from like the comforts of their own living rooms, bedrooms, basements, whatever, you know, weather be damned, as long as you got, you know, Wi-Fi and a system, boom, let's train, let's work.
Huh. So I'm going to have to become a reseller of MetaQuests now. I'm about it. I'll jump in. This sounds like fun.
It's cool.
I can't wait to see what it can do, because it's such an interesting concept. And I was like, at first I was like, I'll be honest with you, because I'd seen Matt do like a thing he did a couple months ago, and it was sort of promo-y, and I was like, all right, like, you know, and you know, anytime something's approached promo-ishly, I tend to back off slightly at first, and I tend to kind of think like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait a minute. As I see, I've seen your Facebook post, I'm just thinking to myself, 60, Tim?
Yeah.
Now, that's a lot of work put in.
Yeah.
In a month?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I have not re-injured any tendonitis issues in my shooting since like 2011 or 12, when I went hard at it and shot like 50,000 rounds and dry fired an hour a night, six nights a week, you know, back then. And I always tell students, I'm like, hey man, here's some warning signs. Don't do this. Don't do that. You don't want to exacerbate it. And here I am, the fucking idiot, you know, in my bedroom working for 2 hours until I run the battery life out. And then I charge the battery up. And I mean, it's been hard to put down until like, I can hardly pick up my pistol and extend my arm all the way to full extension without like, God, it's hurting. And I'm like, I'm such an idiot. Like, I'm doing the same thing I've told students for years not to do, because I forgot that I've done it myself. So yeah, I mean, it, Like
that's scary. Because I it's fucking
got value though.
That tendonitis is so real to me, and as is the carpal tunnel and all that. Like I've been struggling against that now
Well, and here's the great thing about that, right? Not having the actual felt recoil, pounding into your hands and palms all the time. So it's a great way to be able to get your shooting training in without exacerbating a carpal tunnel problem.
That's probably real talk going to be a big thing for me. You're right. Like we tell people, we're like, take it easy. Like we want you to dry fire. We want you to do this, but you don't want to overextend it. And you fucking rat on acid, man. Like I want to go again.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. That's sick. You can't help it. It's cool. It's fun.
That's sick. Well, it's going to be like the fucking arcade, like where you walk in and somebody beats your freaking Space Invaders score. You'd be all like, motherfucker.
Yep. It ain't happening. Not on my dime. Yep.
It ain't happening. Who's Vermonter 4268? Where'd that motherfucker?
Come on, baby. Bring it.
Get him. Yeah. I can't wait. That's cool. So, segments number three.
Uh-oh. We're running short on time, but...
No. Segments.
Okay.
We've got, one more. What the fuck is IPSC? Remember, I'm pretending. I don't know.
IPSC is International Practical Shooting Confederation, right?
So how is it different than USPSA?
It's the international version of USPSA, right? So it is... IPSC is, the legit... kind of mothership organization, and USPSA is the United States version of IPSC. IPSC worldwide, though, was actually created here in the United States. Like we invented the game.
Yep. So when a guy says he's shooting, I don't know, IPSC single stack nationals.
Right. So like divisions are kind of the same, but different, right? So like production division is the same within USPSA and IPSC. Single stack division is that's what we know 1911 shooters like to shoot in USPSA. In IPSC, they don't call it single stack. They call it classic division. So, and there's a couple of little rules changes on like how the guns are set up or things like that. But for the most part, yeah, classic division is that's the division I shoot within IPSC. So is IPSC classic division or USPSA single stack. So limited, iron sights, big stick magazines, all that good stuff, high cap. In USPSA, they call that limited division. In IPSC, they call that standard division. So, and there's limitations on magazine length and things like that for IPSC that are a little bit different to fulfill a more international, a broader international market versus the freedom that we experience here in the United States with things. So, but other than that, most everything pretty well aligns the same. Like open is open, limited is standard, but it's basically the same. Production is production. Single stack is classic. Revolver is revolver. And then carry optics that we have in USPSA is called production optics in IPSC. But it's kind of the same thing. Same rules on the guns and things like that. Only in carry optics in the United States, we can shoot 20 plus rounds of ammo, 140 millimeter magazines. In carry optics, you're limited, or in production optics in IPSC, you're limited to 15 rounds. So it kind of adds a different flavor to the game, so to speak. But again, it's because they've got a broader audience internationally that they've kind of reel in the rule set just a little bit more stringent than we have in good old America. So, but for all intents and purposes, it's the same game.
So what motivates you to compete in both still? P.S. These are questions from people that wanted me to ask you them when I had you on here next.
Sure.
So that's sort of what motivates
USPSA
you to
compete? USPSA basically is that's the U.S. version. That's what I want to get good enough at, I want to win a USPSA national championship, in the United States. IPSC. In shooting IPSC, just kind of opens up opportunities for me to be able to shoot much broader matches across the globe. There's IPSC matches everywhere. There's one basically or two IPSC matches a year in the United States, but there's IPSC matches everywhere. I can go down to Puerto Rico and shoot. I could go to, you know, the Czech Republic or France or wherever and go shoot an IPSC match. So for me, IPSC, since it's the governing body of the World Organization of Practical Shooting, it's important for me to be able to shoot IPSC as well as USPSA matches, because the scores that I shoot in certain IPSC national matches go towards my qualification to be able to represent Team USA at the next world shoot, which is going to be in South Africa next year. So
there we go. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. So www.timherrinshooting.com, right? That's where they find you. And they can find you on the range twice here in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Let's see. July 6th and July 7th, 2024. You'll be doing Train for Mastery with Mr. Zito.
Yep.
And we are, holy shit. Well, there's 6 slots left for that. So
okay.
That's only 5-6 months away, and it's half sold out. So good luck, folks. Get in on that shit. And then you and I will be doing your instructor development course 11/15, 11/16, and 11/17, 2024.
Yes.
Holy shit. And there's only 8 slots left for that.
Excellent.
So there's four guys on that one, and there's 6 on the other one. And you guys, if you hear this, you're going to want to get in on that shit. And there's already some of our regulars that are the names I was just looking at real quick. We're like, oh, yes, cool. Oh, I love awesome. It. So we'll be having a good time together. But man, if there's a place that you're not going to, I can't think of it. Where are you not going? Gosh. That's an easier list at this point. Are you going to Hawaii?
Not going to Hawaii, and unfortunately not going to Alaska this year, but that's about it. I think just about every other state is represented in my schedule for 2020.
Have you ever taught in Hawaii?
I've not taught in Hawaii. I've taught in Alaska 2 or 3 times though. So
believe it or not, I found a Hawaii host.
Sweet.
Who is a PA resident who took a bunch of privates with GMD. And then he's like, yeah, I shoot back home all the time. And I'm like, in Hawaii? And next thing you know, we got texties going and stuff. And I'm like, oh, baby, let's do this.
Hell yeah. That'd be awesome.
Be good to get him on the hookup. He's like, well, who do you recommend I have out? And I was like, don't ask that question.
Yeah.
Don't talk dirty.
Well, you say Kent Hauer of Green Mountain Defense. That's who you need to bring down.
Besides that.
But yeah.
Like, I'll get him. I was like, dude, I'll get you addicted. Like, this will be. You'll start a company over this. Like, don't ask that question. You don't want the answer. I don't think you want to know. But so that could be really cool. But man, it's so cool to have you back on here, and it's so cool to hear you have your own show starting up again. And
yeah, thank you.
You know how it's gonna go. Every you can't go about 3 to 5 months without being on this thing.
That's true, and I love it. I'm looking forward to being on again.
We'll get to see you here coming up, and we'll at least see each other at TACCON, if nowhere else, I imagine.
Absolutely.
So, guys, go find that new podcast, The Low Port, and give it a follow, would you please? Like, if you're not already following Timmy on all the socials, go follow Daniel Defense, go follow Night Hawk, go follow the – what do you got for bullet sponsors and stuff?
Black Bullets International is who I'm using for 9mm projectiles and bullets, so – yeah, they're great. Good, Hunter's HD Gold, Red Hill Tactical. So,
yeah. I'll steal the Matt Landfair line, like Hook, Lion, Sinker. Go support the people that support the good people, or however the fuck. See, I couldn't even copy it, Matt. It's not how he says it. But anyway, go do the follows. Go do the supports. Guys, greenmountaindefense.com, www.greenmountaindefense.com/training/resources/podcast. If you want to ask me questions about where I get my information from, just go to the resources page. If you want to hear this shit, go to the podcast page. And if you want to stop talking about it, come do it, which I would prefer. Hit that training page. We are running right now 40 continuous private lesson people.
Fantastic.
On a like revolving scale.
That's outstanding.
We have carrying capacity for 50 of you. Okay, Mr. Hirsch, Mr. Justin, and Mr. Kent have the scheduling availability and the carrying capacity to have 50 of you on that rotation. I've got room for 10, assuming, you know, nobody dies or something terrible. But like, we're just doing the private lesson thing. So please jump in with both feet. Let us help you. This evening, I helped a 79-year-old lady who could not stand up.
Wow. That's
awesome. And she learned to shoot a handgun tonight. So anyway, we will end the recording here, and you guys maybe or maybe not will get a couple cuts out of the other individual intro we did where Tim might or might not have threatened everybody's dads. So that'll be the promo for this. Love you guys. Good night. We're out of here.
Thanks, guys.